I wish I had the gall and the life to say to you, whatever you've heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. I'm afraid my life might lead some of you astray. But St. Paul could say that, and you and I ought to work to be able to say that. I'm not able in my sermon this morning to say everything I'd like to say about this particular passage. For example, he says that we are by prayer and petition with thanksgiving to present our requests to God. You know, part of my problem is when I have bad things happen in my life, it's, first of all, very difficult to give thanks for it. But particularly when I go to bed at night, that bad thing preys on my mind, and I have difficulty sleeping. Do you have that problem? But St. Paul says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, think about such things. Our meditation is entitled, The Power of Praise. Our text, Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Father, open this scripture to us, and may we feast upon Your word, and come away from this experience strengthened to be Your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture for this morning has some rather incredible admonitions in it. First of all, St. Paul says we are to rejoice in the Lord always. And just for emphasis, he says, I will say it again, rejoice. So it wasn't an accidental statement. He really meant to say that. We are to rejoice in the Lord always, all of the time. And then he goes on to add, do not be anxious about anything. Can you do that? Are there times when you get pretty anxious about things? Are there times you don't feel much like rejoicing because anxiety has overwhelmed you? But Paul gets even more incredible. He says, in everything, by prayer and petition, we are to present our requests to God. Now, that's okay. I can do that. By prayer and petition, I can make my request known to God. But I left out a phrase that the Bible has. You see, he said, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, we are to present our request to God. Now, I'm not sure I can do that. Can you? Can you look at the needs of your life, and in spite of whatever may be happening, can you talk to God about it with thanksgiving? Now, the truth is, I can pray to God with thanksgiving if things are going well. And also, I can make my prayers and petitions to God when things aren't going well, but I have trouble thanking Him for it. Do you have that problem too? When things go really bad, do you say, oh, thank you, God, that this terrible thing has happened? Do you find it hard to be very thankful when things aren't going well? I read a funny story the other day. It seems an Easterner was traveling out west, and he went into a Western saloon. And he was astonished to see a dog sitting at a table with three cowboys playing poker. He said, I can't believe this. Can that dog really play poker? And one of the cowboys says, yeah, but he's not very good. You see, when he gets a good hand, he wags his tail. Well, I suspect that's true of most of us. When we get a good hand in life, we're tail waggers. We're pretty happy folks. But when things go wrong, most of us end up with our tail between our legs. Now, in this passage of Scripture, do we have some isolated statement that Paul really didn't mean? Did he really mean to say what he said? Well, let me share several other passages with you that St. Paul also wrote. First, from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul has been sharing with the Corinthians a terrible problem he has that he calls a thorn in the flesh. And this is what he says about his thorn in the flesh after he prayed about it. But God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then Paul adds, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now let me ask you, have you boasted lately about any of your problems because they make you lean on Jesus more? Now here's another passage from Ephesians 5:20. There Paul writes, "Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus." Or here's a third passage, this time from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, our memory verse for this week. There St. Paul writes, "Be joyful when? Always. Pray how often? Continually. Give thanks when? In all circumstances. For this is God's will for you," he says in Christ Jesus, "that you give thanks in all circumstances." We see then a general principle in the writings of St. Paul. And that principle is this. There is a certain spiritual power in praise. There is a certain healing going on in our lives when we thank God. There is a certain redemptive force at work as we praise God in all circumstances. Now see how it works. First, to praise God in every circumstances reinforces our trust in God. It reinforces our trust in God. Sometimes it's hard to trust God. When the roof tumbles in, what then? Our hearts cry out. When Franklin Pierce was sworn in as President of the United States, he was the first president who refused to use the Bible to place his hand on at his inauguration. You see, 2 weeks before he was to be sworn in as president, the train in which he, his wife, and his son were riding had an accident, and their car overturned and plunged down an embankment. Now, the president-elect and his wife were not injured, but their son was killed. Franklin Pierce brooded over this, and he asked the same question of God that I suppose any of us would ask. Why me? And because he felt he couldn't trust God anymore, he refused to allow the Bible to be used at his inauguration. But to thank God in the face of adversity reinforces our trust in God. You see, if you can't trust God, who or what can you trust? Are we just the victims of chance and fate and fortune? If not God, then who or what? I think that is what St. Paul meant when he wrote in Romans 8:28, "And we know that in all things God works for good for those who love Him." Charles MacArthur was married to the actress Helen Hayes, and they lost their 19-year-old daughter to polio. Not many years after that, Charles MacArthur died, and Helen Hayes said that he never quit asking about their daughter's death, "Why us?" Helen Hayes, looking around her and seeing many others in pain and tragedy and hurt, asked, "Why not us?" in her 80s today. She continues to live a useful and productive life. The ability to trust God in the midst of adversity released a power in her life that enabled her to rise above the worst that life could do. This is a principle that will work for you and for me. When life has done its worst, when our hearts are breaking, when our eyes are dimmed with tears, we can thank God in every circumstance. Why? Because we trust Him. We trust Him that out of our tragedy He will bring good. We trust Him that even though we may not see it now, we know that looking back someday we will be able to see how His hand was upon us. And when we can't thank God because we trust Him, then we become subject to despair that crushes and kills the human spirit. A second reason that there is power in praise is because when we rejoice always, it helps us to get life in perspective. You see, when I'm expressing thanks and gratitude to God for all the things I do have, it keeps me from grieving over what I don't have. And that changes my whole perspective. If I see my life as a long line from beginning to end and see all of the things that life has brought me, this one little incident must not be permitted to color the whole of life. See how it works. Byron Janis has been proclaimed as one of the world's greatest piano virtuosos. But for years he has been battling psoriatic arthritis. Now that's the arthritis that just takes people's hands and bends them and twists them and great knots out of them and makes them useless. Perhaps you've seen people like that. He can no longer make a fist, and his right wrist has only 40% mobility left. The little finger on his left hand is numb, and the joints of the other 9 fingers are fused together, and he is able to move only the distal joint of the middle finger on his left hand. Can you imagine what it would be like to be a pianist and to have hands crippled like that? He once said, "I thought I had nothing. Now," he says, "I know I have everything." He's gone to every conceivable place for help, from medical doctors to acupuncturists. "What helped me the most, I can't explain," he said. "I developed a very personal relationship with God." He went on to say, "I think prayer is so important. I think the belief in God is healing." And then he concluded, "I still have arthritis, but arthritis doesn't have me." Does that make sense to you? As we give thanks in all circumstances, as we rejoice always, our trust in God is reinforced and our perspective on things gets changed. A third thing that gives power to praise is this. It opens new avenues, new vistas to us. You see, as long as I am focused on what has already happened, as long as I am fixated on the things that have already taken place and which cannot be undone, I can never turn to the future to explore new avenues. Can you understand that? As long as I'm dwelling on the bad that has already happened, I can never try the future for the good things that haven't yet happened. Let me give you an illustration. Some years ago, a man over 60 was offered nearly $200,000 for a business he owned. It was a combination restaurant, motel, service station. And $200,000 for that era was an incredible amount of money. But he had spent his lifetime building up his business, and he just wasn't ready to retire. 2 years later, at age 65, this man was flat broke. He had no income at all. He had lost his business. And the only thing he had was a small Social Security check each month. You see, a tragedy had occurred for him. The state had come along and built a new highway that bypassed his place of business, and he lost it all. I suppose most of us at that age would have been crushed by such a terrible turn of events. But this man was not willing to dwell on the past because it kept him from looking to the future. He kissed his wife goodbye, climbed into his battered old car. You see, he had an idea. He had a pressure cooker and he had some flour prepared with some special herbs and spices. It was a tough time, and often he slept in the car because there was no money for a motel room. But do you know what? In a few years, he had built a nationwide franchise restaurant chain called Kentucky Fried Chicken. And Colonel Sanders became a rich man after he was 70. Let me add a personal note about the colonel. I was waiting in the airport in Atlanta once, and the colonel came rounding in the door, and he stopped beside me and spoke to me. And we stood there and chatted for quite a little while. He was a godly man who loved the Lord and who gave literally millions in money to the church. He was a devoted churchman. And when he gave thanks in all circumstances, it freed him from that failure of the past to look for new opportunities in the future. You try that in your life and see if it won't work for you. Then there's a fourth thing about the power of praise. When you're trusting God, when your own perspective on things is getting changed, when you're getting your focus off the past and freeing yourself for the future, then a wonderful thing happens. God is freed to do a new and wonderful thing in your life. You see, sometimes God wants to do new things in our lives. Once St. Paul was on the road to Damascus with warrants in his pocket to arrest Christians and persecute them, I feel sure in my heart that St. Paul thought he was doing the will of God, but he was listening to the wrong voice. When we're listening to the right voice, God may want to do a new thing in our lives. And on the road to Damascus, St. Paul had an encounter with the risen Lord because God wanted to do something different, something new in his life. He was struck blind. He was helpless. He was led humbly into the city. Surely he might have felt that God no longer cared. Surely he felt, I'm doing God's will, and look what's happened to me. But God wanted to do a new thing. Soren Kierkegaard, the famous Danish philosopher and also a devout Christian, once told a parable that I'd like to share with you. It's a story about a rich man who bought a team of excellent horses who were faultless in their performance. His own coachman was somewhat inept and undisciplined, but with such a fine team of horses, the rich man felt the man's inabilities would be overcome. However, in a few months, the once proud horses were in disarray. They were dull. They had no energy or stamina. They now had strange quirks and had developed some terrible bad habits. So the rich man called the coachman of the king, who knew a great deal about horses. And after that coachman had driven the horses for just a month, and when they had come to know the sound of his voice, they held their heads high, their eyes were bright, and their pace was beautiful. They had untiring stamina. All of their potential and all of their capabilities had been restored because they were listening to a new voice. So was St. Paul. On the road to Damascus, he heard a new voice. And he went on from that encounter to become one of the most influential persons in human history. His circumstances couldn't defeat him. His thorn in the flesh couldn't defeat him. The powerful people arrayed against him couldn't defeat him. And why? Because it was St. Paul who wrote, "Rejoice always." He wrote, "In all things give thanks." He wrote, "In all things God works for good." And there was great power in that praise. It freed God to do a new thing in Paul's life. because Paul was listening to a new voice. Yes, there is incredible power in praise. In the worst of times, we can give thanks to God, rejoicing always. Our trust in God is reinforced. Our perspective gets broadened. We can focus on the future, and it releases God to do a new thing in our lives. I read the other day about a college student who went down to Fort Lauderdale, Florida on spring break, as many of the college young people do. While down there, he and his friends having too much of a good time. And when the party got a little out of hand, some of them were arrested and put in jail. To the police sergeant, he said, "I demand my constitutional right to make a phone call." And of course, the sergeant permitted him to make that one phone call. 15 minutes later, a delivery boy arrived at the jail and asked, "Who ordered the combination pizza with everything?" While I don't approve of what he did to get in jail in the first place, still you have to admire his attitude towards adversity. And when life goes sour and things go badly, we might try ordering a pizza with everything on it. After all, there's great power in praise. Let us pray.